ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Evening, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text number, 49. Asakta buddhihi sarvatra jitatma vigata sprihaha Naishkarmya Siddhim Paramam Sanyasena Adigachati Asakta Buddhi Sarvatra Asakta Buddhi Sarvatra Jitatma Vigata Spriha Naishkarmya Siddham Paramam Sanyasena Adigachati Asakta Buddhi Sarvatra Jitatma Vigata Spriha Naishkarmya Siddham Paramam Sanyasena Adigachati Asakta buddhi sarvatra Jitatma vigata spriha Naishkarmya siddham paramam Sanyasena adigachati One who is self-controlled and unattached and who regards all material enjoyments, who disregards all material enjoyments, can obtain, by practice of renunciation, the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Responsively, please repeat. One who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain by practice of renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Real renunciation means that one should always think himself part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and therefore think that he has no right to enjoy the results of his work. Since he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the results of his work must be enjoyed by the Supreme Lord. This is actually Krishna consciousness. The person acting in Krishna consciousness is really a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life. By such a mentality, one is satisfied because he is actually acting for the Supreme. Thus, he is not attached to anything material. He becomes accustomed to not taking pleasure in anything beyond the transcendental happiness derived from the service of the Lord. Thus, he is not attached to anything material. He becomes accustomed to not taking pleasure in anything beyond the transcendental happiness derived from the service of the Lord. A sannyasi is supposed to be free from the reactions of his past activities. But a person who is in Krishna consciousness automatically attains this perfection without even accepting the so-called order of renunciation. This state of mind is called Yoga Ruddha, or the perfectional stage of yoga. As confirmed in the third chapter, Yasvatma Ratir Eva Syat, one who is satisfied in himself, has no fear of any kind of reaction from his activity. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jitatma vigatasriha naiskarmya siddhim paramam sanyasena adigacchati. One who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain by practice of renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. So Krishna consciousness is not for everyone. Of course, it is open to everyone, but it is actually meant for intelligent persons. An unintelligent person cannot understand why he is suffering in the material world. He cannot see that the reactions to his work are perpetuating his existence, life after life, and that ultimately he has no chance for freedom. In fact, he is bound up by his own desires. Desires are very funny. Desire can be the cause of your liberation, or your own desire can be the cause of your bondage. It sounds strange how one can say that you are here because you desire to be here, but it is a fact. If we wanted to be free from suffering, if we seriously wanted to know God, to know the Lord, and to live eternally in the spiritual world, it is not very difficult. But we're attached. An example, a simple example I read about in Africa. They catch monkeys by, in the jungle, in the villages. They very simple technology. They don't have big iron metal traps or, you know, electric fences that fall down or something. They just take a coconut, an ordinary coconut, and they cut a hole in the coconut and empty out the inside. On one end of the coconut, there's a hole big enough for a monkey to get his hand in. Just to get his hand in. And on the other end of the coconut, there's a hole big enough to put a small rope. So they put the rope in and tie a knot so they can pull the coconut with that rope. The knot will catch against the coconut. They can pull it. And then they heat up some nice warm peanuts. Put a little salt and lemon. And they put them inside the coconut, and they put the coconut in a clearing where the trees, where there's an opening and there's a clearing. So monkeys have good noses. You may have noticed. And they smell the peanuts, and they love peanuts. So they come, and they see the coconut, and they know the peanuts are inside, so they come up to the coconut, and they put their hand in. They get their hand in. Then they grab the peanuts, and they make a fist. Can't get their hand out. And then the natives start to pull the rope. And the monkey's dragged along by his hand. Now all he has to do is let go of the peanuts and pull his hand out and run away. But the monkeys can't figure it out. They just can't, they won't let go of those peanuts. And therefore they're caught. And in the material world, people can't figure it out why they're caught here. So, the first business of a transcendentalist is to become self-controlled. We are not the master of our fate or the captain of our destiny. One famous poet saying that I am the master of my fate and the captain of my destiny. But we're not the master of our own fate. Just like a captain controls his boat, the man was thinking that he's the captain of his destiny. He can do what he likes in life. He's as free as the wind. If he decides to do something, then he will do it. And even today, people say such things, that anything your mind can imagine, you can do it. You know, they have all these cute, very cute little sayings. I know lots of them. I read all about them. They're all icky. They're all yuck. There's no realization. Just people like to write cute little phrases and get their name, you know, put underneath it. But the fact is that we're controlled at every minute in life. And the first business of a transcendentalist is to withdraw, to develop some control, to control his mind and senses. So the Upadeshamrita describes the different things that push us and pull us. Vacho vegam, the tongue, the speech, actually, the urge to speak anything. Because of mundane sound, because people are talking such nonsense and singing such nonsense, we have to be careful of the sound we create. The whole akash, the whole atmosphere is polluted by mundane sound. And it affects people's consciousness. Therefore, we quoted that verse that when you become, when your intelligence passes out of the dense forest of illusion, moha kalilam, the dense forest of illusion, it's like a deep, dark, dense forest. Material life is like that. People have so many things, so many subject matters for talking about. Nothing. It's all related to the body. It's all related to perpetuating their life in material existence. Nobody is talking about their self-realization. Maybe once in a while on Sunday or Friday, but nobody is really concerned. So to control this tongue, to control speech, is very important for a transcendentalist. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam. To control the mind. Arjuna, he was asked by Krishna to control his mind. And Arjuna said that my mind is restless, obulent, obstinate, turbulent. Restless. My mind just wanders from one thing to another. It jumps. It's jumping from one thing. I can't keep my mind focused. Arjuna is telling Krishna that. Chanchala, hi mana Krishna. Pramati, balavadridam, tasyaham nigraham manye vayariva suduskam. It would be easier for me to control the wind, to get out and control hurricane Mary, or, you know, tornado this or that. If you saw what happened in America recently,
on CNN, they showed whole cities, not cities, towns, just flattened to the ground by the wind. Vayu, he's very strong. Hanuman was the son of Vayu, and he could defeat the whole Rakshasa army. He was so powerful, and he was the son of Vayu. Vayu is very powerful, and Krishna, Arjuna said, I could control the wind more easily than controlling my mind. And Krishna says, yes, ashangsayam mahabaho, undoubtedly, you're right, mano durnigraham chalam. It's a fact. Krishna agreed. He didn't disagree. No one said that it's easy to control the mind. But if you want to be successful in transcendental life, it's one of your main objectives. And Krishna tells us how. Abhyasena tu konteya vairagyena chagriyate. By, here it says, by practice of renunciation. By practice of renunciation. Krishna says, abhyasena tu konteya, by constant practice, and vairagyena, by renunciation. It's worth the effort. It's worth the effort in this lifetime because you're going to get a certain amount of sense gratification. And especially in bhakti yoga, we don't walk away from we engage the senses in works of devotion. We don't stop the senses. We don't try to kill the senses. We don't cut the senses. Like if you get an infection in your eye, one solution is to cut your eye out. Then you're not sick anymore. Oh, look, I'm free. I have no more infection. You don't have an eye either. So you take the medicine. You take the medicine. Then you use your eye properly. We use our senses for serving Krishna in every way, even up to sex. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatashubha. Even up to sex, we use our genitals for Krishna's satisfaction. The mind has to be controlled. Otherwise, the mind remains your enemy. You remain a godasa, a servant, a slave. How does it feel to be a slave, an ignorant, foolish slave of your mind, which is just leading you here and there, creating so much reaction, so much karma? And you have to pay. You can't say, oh, I didn't know. It's too bad if you didn't know. It's your duty to know. You've been given the human form of life to investigate. You have to know. It's your business to find out what is pravritti and what is nivritti. What is the right course of action? What is the wrong course of action? What is righteous activity and what is demoniac activity? What is right and what is wrong? Dogs and cats may not be taken to court because they don't do right or wrong. They're not held responsible. But you're a human being. And it's your duty to find out. Therefore, you have to control your mind. Anger. You have to control anger. Anger bewilders you. Anger is caused by lust and greed. You have to control this anger. Try to be peaceful. Anger never helps anyone. You don't hurt the person you get angry with. You don't hurt them. You hurt yourself. Anger shortens your life. Anger increases your heart rate. It increases your blood pressure. It increases your perspiration. It decreases the duration of your life. Anger is not good for you. Therefore, Upadeshamrita says, manasa krodha vegam. Control this. Jiva vegam, the tongue. What can we say about the tongue? The tongue leads us. The body is a network of paths leading to death. In all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious. Take Krishna prasadam. Control the tongue. Udaropastha vegam. The belly and the genitals. Of course, the Italians say pasta. That's the problem. But maybe what the actual fact is, you eat too much pasta and become subject to your belly and your genitals. But anyway. Udro pasta begum. You have to control yourself. Don't be an animal. People are just sophisticated cats and dogs. I'm sorry to say it. Prabhupada said it over and over again. This civilization is just cats and dogs civilization. Sophisticated, but that's all. You can never expect animal, you can never expect any good to come from a civilization of animals. You can't expect that they will do anything good for their fellow human beings. Animals live by the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. Might makes right. Enjoy at everybody else's expense. That's animal life. You watch the animals. They fight with one another for a piece of food. Just in our prasadam. Every afternoon, if there's a little grain on the ground, you know, five pigeons come swooping down and they fight with each other. It's not like, oh, Prabhu, let's divide this up equally. You have your share, I'll have my share. No. The pigeons, they fight. And if we live like animals, then don't expect a better life. So one has to control, become self-controlled and unattached. This material attachment can be cut by pure devotee. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma. Vijitatma jitendriya. Someone who is engaged in devotional service and who is a vishuddhatma, a pure soul. And he vijitatma jitendriya. Jitindriya. He controls his senses, he defeats his senses. He conquers the senses. In the old Bhagavad Gita, now of course it's a different translation, but I kind of liked the old one a little bit. It was neat, but it was wrong. But anyway, it talked about in the 18th, actually it's one of the verses here, I think, or no, it's the third chapter. Evam buddhe param buddha. Knowing the mind to be higher than the senses. How does that go? It's a nice verse. Oh, maybe this has the old translation. No. Evam buddhe param buddha samstab yatmanam atmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kama rupam durasadam. So in the old translation said, one has to conquer the lower self by the higher self. So we have a lower self, an animal self. We are, atma means body, atma means mind, and atma means soul. It has three meanings. One meaning of atma or self is the body. But that, the body acts just like any other animal. If the body is not directed by superior intelligence, then dvipad pashu, dharmena hina pashu bisamanaha. We're just animals. So we have to cut the knot. Chidyante hridaya grantis. We have to cut the knot of affection in the heart. We have to become nice devotees of the Lord. Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadhiya vartam. One who gives up speculative knowledge, gyane prayasam udapasya. Udapasya means he gives up this business of speculating. You know, everybody's got an angle. You go door to door, nobody's going to say, gee, I don't know anything. I'm just dumb, you know. Everybody's got an opinion. Well, I think it's like this. Well, as far as I know, I think spiritual life means to be kind to others. Well, what does kind to others mean? Does it mean killing cows? Is that being kind to cows? Not very deep, but everybody's got some idea. And how do they get that idea? Pure speculation, no authority, no logic, no reason, simply concoction. Krishna says when you give up all varieties of sense desire which arise from mental concoction, this is what people are doing, mental concoction. So, jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. But one simply engages in worshipping the Lord. Jivanti san mukharitam, who is praised by devotees. Bhavadiya vartam. Stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir. There's no need to go anywhere. You don't have to change your place or situation or whatever. It's not something material. Just like the saying, when you go to Calcutta from Bombay, your forehead goes with you. Brilliant. You know, obviously your forehead doesn't stay back in Bombay while the rest of your body goes to Calcutta. That would be pretty unique. But the same word for forehead also means your karma. What is the yadi jabe bange? Kopal. Kopal means forehead. And kopal also means your karma. Kopal jabe sange. So you can go anywhere in the universe. People are restless. I'm unhappy, let me change my job. I'm unhappy, let me change my wife. I'm unhappy, let me go to another country. I'm unhappy, let me make this adjustment, that adjustment, material adjustment. No. You stay in your place, there's no need. Whatever nature has given you, it's good enough. Stane stita. Stay in your stana, your place, like you have Pakistana, Kalistana. Stana means place. Stay in your place. But engage with your body, mind, and words in glorifying God. Then, ye prayaso, jita jitopyasi taistri lokyam. Then you can actually conquer God. You can conquer the Supreme Lord because He's conquered by love. He's conquered by the love of His devotees. And you can conquer Him in a loving relationship when you have yourself to give to Him. When you've conquered yourself, then you can have a relationship with Krishna. So we have to get rid of our attachment. And here Prabhupada talks about the external form of becoming a sannyasi. But it's not that. It's the consciousness. Just changing your dress isn't going to make you a sannyasi. Just traveling from Delhi to Vrindavan isn't going to get you to Vrindavan. You have to change your consciousness. In everything, it's the quality of your desire, the quality of your intention to love Krishna. The external thing is for preaching. The external thing is to control you so that you don't take shelter beyond Nirdvanva Nitya Sattvasto Nir Yoga Kshema Atma Van. It's to help you become satisfied in the self, become satisfied with devotional service, to become satisfied with a spiritual life, to become satisfied with prasadam, to become satisfied looking like a Vaishnava, acting like a Vaishnava, serving the Vaishnavas. So, there were a couple of cases. There was one Nandulal Dasi. And there was another lady, Aditya Dasi. They both wrote to Prabhupada. They wanted to take sannyas. So, because it was the thing to do, you know. And maybe they were sincere. But Prabhupada wrote to them that that is not Vedic culture. A woman must always be protected. He said, you are already a sannyasi in your consciousness. That is the important thing. An asaktasya vishayan. To give up everything that is unfavorable for devotional service. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchate. Real renunciation means to accept everything favorable and to reject everything unfavorable for devotional service. That is sannyas. And that is what we want to aspire for. That is what Krishna is teaching Arjuna here. He's taught him about so many things. It's getting near the end of the Bhagavad Gita. At the end of his instruction, it's only half an hour instruction anyway. Can you imagine 700 verses in half an hour? But Arjuna understood. Krishna was very... There wasn't a purport after every verse, so it was a little quicker. But Arjuna understood, and Krishna has described so many things, renunciation here, the different modes of nature, and now he's telling them that the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction, that's what we want, is to be self-controlled, unattached, and material enjoyment. Whatever is your quota, you can accept that, but you should be unattached. You should be attached. How to be unattached? Be attached to devotional service. Somehow, get some work. Engage your senses. It's up to you. You have to make the arrangement. The temple is there. The temple president tries his best to help you, but he has many responsibilities. There's many devotees. You come forward and demand devotional service. Change your timing so that you can serve the deity. When your body, mind, and words, when your senses are engaged in devotional service, then you'll cut the knot. Then you'll feel freedom. Then you'll get realization instead of simply theoretical knowledge. Then gradually, step by step, you go back to Godhead. Okay, I will stop there. Are there any questions? Yes, sir. I seem to recall saying that, yes. It's quite tricky. The question is, how can someone... I mean, there's other questions that are similar to this, but this particular angle is, how can one chant Hare Krishna and have no worries and be happy and still feel himself the lowest of the low, the most fallen, etc., etc.? Well, first of all, how does one get to the stage of uttam bhakti, where he feels himself very low and meek and humble, by chanting Hare Krishna? And in the initial stage, one needs to survive, because there will be many attacks to break your faith. Your old karma will return to haunt you. Maya will not let you go. Maya has avaranatmika shakti. She covers you, avarana. And when you try to get out of her clutches, she doesn't say, oh, okay, you can go now. But prachapatmika, she catches you and throws you back down. She tries to put you back. Because you really have to want. You have to want your freedom more than anything else. What is that? You have to be greedy. What's that word for greed? Lolium. Yes. Tatra lolium. Apiekalam mulium. Must be very serious and sincere. So, in order to survive in spiritual life, one's got to have some confidence that he can succeed. Sometimes it becomes a little depressing when you think that it's too difficult for me. Hey, man, Arjuna said it was difficult for him. I can't, you know. So, Prabhupada, our guru, is telling us, no, no, no. You just chant, and the holy name is so powerful that the holy name will protect you and help you. And don't worry about your material life. Krishna will protect you. And be happy. There's no utility in being unhappy. It doesn't help you to be more Krishna conscious. But as you advance in spiritual life, if you read the poetry of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Janama Goinainu, how's that go? He laments that he's wasted his life. Radha Krishna Nabha Jiya. I didn't worship Radha and Krishna, but Bishakainu. I've drunken poison. So he's in a very advanced stage of devotional service, and Krishna's reciprocating with him. So don't misconstrue or don't misinterpret that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a fallen person. Just like Madhavendra Puri, he had two disciples. One was Ishwara Puri, who served him faithfully in his old age, waited on him hand and foot, and he was so old at one point that he couldn't control his motions. And Ishwara Puri cleaned his bowl, his stools, and just took such good care of him and was such a good servant. And he had another devotee, another disciple, I forget his name, Raghunandan or something. Anyway, that devotee, when Madhavendra Puri was leaving, he was lamenting, "Oh Krishna, I could not find you, I could not surrender to you." So his own disciple chastised him and said, "Don't talk like this. You should be thinking of Krishna now. Don't, you know, lament in this way. Don't, this is not proper." He was calculating that his spiritual master was an ordinary man. So we should not think that an advanced devotee, when he thinks that he's the most fallen, that he's in distress. He's not in distress. But he's just very, very humble in front. He's in front of the Lord. And Krishna is giving him darshan, and he's feeling very meek and humble. Is that all right? Any other question? Yeah? Yeah, they didn't cover themselves. No, ladies have a radar system. They can understand when a man is lusting over them. He becomes, you know, his eyes begin to twitch and, you know, he starts... You can tell. You watch. Two or three men will be sitting in a room talking, discussing different things, maybe playing poker, so I don't know, doing whatever they're doing. And then a beautiful woman will walk into the room. Immediately the whole atmosphere changes. Everybody becomes self-conscious. They're no longer in communication with each other, but they're just thinking, you know, how they're going to impress the chick, you know? It's animal nature, you know. And you can see it sometimes. And, you know, you're on a bridge or something, and you're just kind of watching people go by, and maybe some beautiful woman goes by and you lose control, and, you know, your mind starts following her. And then all of a sudden she turns around and looks up at the bridge, and whoa, why did that happen, you know? Some radar there. I mean, even they don't know. The pure soul within the body doesn't know, but there's different things that are going on between the animal species, between male and female species. It's lust, Kamadev. He's, you know, you think, well, is this guy flying around with arrows and everything? Well, yeah, there is a Kamadev, actually. There is a god of love who shoots people with arrows. You know. So, yeah, you just, you know, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagena cha griyate. The most attractive person in the world is the person who's free from attachment. Srila Prabhupada was very, very attractive to all women. Really. He was a 70, 80-year-old man. But everybody just fell in love with him. Especially women felt so protected by him. They felt completely at ease in his presence. Any other questions? Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Srila Prabhupada ji ki.